This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
I do believe God has given me a fresh word for you, for this church, and for us as a people. And so the Bible says that God watches over his word to perform it. Amen. And so when you could say it like this, God always says it before he does it. And so God will announce it, and then we believe it, and then we see him do it. Amen. And God is so amazing that he can announce it and do it in the same day. So many of you will even sense God do great things within you today and in the days, weeks, and months to come. The title of the message is, I Hear the Sound. I Hear the Sound. And that'll make more sense as we go forward. In today's message, I hear the sound. Someone say, I hear the sound.
I hear the sound.
Yes, sir. You can open your Bible to Zechariah chapter 10. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1. And it says, ask the Lord for rain. Someone say rain. In the time of the latter rain, the Lord will make flashing clouds and he will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. Grass in the field for everyone. But notice what it says. Ask for rain in the time of rain. One more time, ask for rain in the time of rain, and the Lord will send the rain. Then Hosea chapter 6, verse 3 says this, let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will, listen to this, he will come to us like the rain. Come on, somebody. Talking about God coming to us like the rain. That God will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth. Now, let me tell you what the rain is. Rain in the Bible is typifies and is representative of the power of God, the presence of God, and the favor of God. So you could say it like this. There are three types of rain that we're talking about this morning. When I say rain, I don't want you to just think about water. I want you to think about the power of God, the presence of God, and the favor of God. Somebody say amen. How many of you know that his presence changes everything? That was incredibly weak this morning. You're supposed to be my post-Starbucks crowd. Come on, somebody. Come on, I said, how many of you know his presence changes everything? That when his presence comes in, everything begins to change. Whenever the children of Israel had the presence of God, had the Ark of the Covenant in their camp, their battles were fought for them, and they were victorious in every battle that they faced. It was when the presence of God was removed from their camps that they began to lose battles. And so what God is saying is that you need the reign of his presence to see victory in your everyday life. If you believe it, say amen. The presence of God changes everything. The presence of God went to, I believe, Obed-Edom's house, and the Bible says that over the next, I think, month or 3 months, that everything in Obed-Edom's house increased. When the presence of God got to Obed-Edom's house, everything increased. His flocks, his land, everything began to flourish and increase, because when the presence of God begins to come upon your life in a greater way, everything will increase. And you know about the favor? Come on, we're growing in the favor of God this year. Amen? And so growing in his favor, in unmerited favor, grace and abilities, and being able to walk into things, favor opens doors no man can shut. Favor surrounds you like a shield, and we can grow in the favor of God. So we're talking, number one, about the reign of his presence. Number two, about the reign of his favor. And number three, about the reign of God's power. Somebody shout power. Yeah, Paul said, the Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. How many of you know this? With enough of the power of God, you can overcome anything. I said, with enough of the power of God, you can overcome anything. And this is why we need the reign of God's power in our lives. The message this morning is an announcement and a declaration. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Now, that may not mean a whole lot to you now, but again, the rain is his power, his presence, and his favor. And I'm telling you, what I'm hearing in my spirit is, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Hallelujah. And so that'll make more sense to you as we go along. Thank you so much, Sal. Someone say one more time, say, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. The rain has already begun to fall, but we're getting ready to see the abundance of rain come to this city, to our church, to our lives, if we will believe. Someone say believe. So now you and I, if God is saying it's time for the abundance of rain, we need to begin to believe and pray and ask God for more of the abundance of rain. Rain in your family, rain in your prayer life, rain in your finances, rain in your emotions. Come on, somebody. Talk about, no, I'm good. Listen, I need the power of God in every area of my life. Someone says, yes, Lord, in my marriage. Thank you, Jesus. Rain on him. Hallelujah. Rain on her. No, okay, here we go. All right, so let's pray. We'll get right into it. Father, I thank you that you'll use me to release that which you've placed inside of me. I thank you, Father, that you will bring deliverance and healing and wholeness and encouragement to everybody here. God, you know every situation, and you know how to work each one of them out for good. And God, we give you the praise and we give you the glory that by your anointing and by your spirit, we'll be changed, we'll be made better, we'll be encouraged and empowered. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Amen. Here we go. So, the rain of God, when I'm saying rain, I'm talking about the power of God, the presence of God, and the favor of God. We need the rain of God. Rain, how many of you know this? Rain can cause things to blossom that would otherwise die. Isn't that right? Rain will cause things to blossom in your life that would otherwise die. Rain will cause dreams and passion and a burning heart for God and destiny and marriages to blossom instead of dying, because the rain and the power and the presence of God is what we need to see those things blossom and to flourish. If you believe it, say amen. How many of you know this? Even in the natural, when the rain comes, it gets everywhere. Even if you don't want it to, the rain gets everywhere. It gets on everything, and it doesn't miss areas. It absolutely gets everywhere. And in the natural, rain does many amazing things. It causes grass and trees to grow and to blossom and to flourish, and it'll cause desert lands to be made fertile again, and it does so many good things, but the natural rain also does negative things. It causes cars to rust, and it causes houses to be deteriorated. It does some negative things, but the rain of God only has positive effects. Come on, somebody. And so we want the rain of God, and I want the rain of God to get everywhere, to get on everything, and to get in every area of my life. How many of you know this? When you're out in the rain in the natural, you can get soaked. You can get drenched in the rain to where every part of you is wet. Every part of you has been affected by the rain. And that's exactly what I want every person in celebration to experience, that every part of us is being affected by the rain of God. Amen. By the rain of his presence, by the rain of his power, and by the rain of his favor. How many of you know this? There's just something about singing and dancing in the rain that causes you to forget about your troubles and spin and splash in freedom with no regard about what people think. You know, remember that? Have you ever done that? I mean, I haven't done it often because I'm kind of a clean person. You know what I mean? I don't like to feel wet or dirty. But there's been a few times when I got out there and I'm like, I'm already soaked. So I might as well jump in some puddles, spin around, you know, just liberated in the rain instead of always trying to, you know, get covered up. You know, let me get inside. I'm already soaked. Might as well enjoy it. Come on, somebody, right? Listen, we need to quit dodging the power of God. We need to quit dodging the rain of God. And we need to say, God, I'm coming out where you can rain on every part of my life. You can rain in my family. You can rain in my prayer life. You can rain in my finances. You can rain on my... You can rain in every part of me. I want every part of my life wet with the rain of God. If you believe it, somebody say amen. So here's what I'm here to tell you this morning. The rain is here and it's coming. The rain is here. Someone say it's here. But the abundance of rain is coming. And this is why I'm preaching this and announcing this, declaring this. Because in the days and in the months and in the weeks and the months to come, we are going to see the rain of God be poured out like we never have before. If you believe that, somebody say amen. And so again, this is not just a message. This is a declaration from heaven about what you need to begin to expect. Thank you for your enthusiasm and excitement. Hallelujah. All right, so let me start with this. God and rain or water have a history in the Bible. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and verse 11 tells us the story about Noah and the ark. It had never rained before. The earth was watered from the spring of the earth, and that's how everything was watered and taken care of. Rain had never come. But the Bible says that everybody on the face of the planet at that time, other than Noah and his family — Noah was a just man and feared the Lord — but everybody else was wicked, and every intent and thought — listen, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 13. This is the state that he found man in. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And so God saw this, and so the flood was impending. The rain was coming. And when I read that, all of a sudden, God spoke to me. He said, notice that the rain killed sin, wickedness, and lawlessness in the earth, and allowed my people to go forward and to walk into a new day. Wow. Come on, somebody. The rain killed sin, wickedness, and lawlessness, and allowed my people to go forward into a brand new day. Here's what you need to know. The rain of God in your life will help you kill sin. Hallelujah. The rain of God — I'm going to preach if nobody helps me this morning — but the rain of God in your life will help you kill sin. It'll help you kill lawlessness. It'll help you kill wickedness. It'll kill lust. It'll kill anger. It'll kill fornication. It'll kill addiction. It'll kill depression. Come on. We need the rain of God. When the rain of God fell, lust had to go. When the rain of God fell, wickedness had to go. When the rain of God fell, sin had to go. And I am telling you, in times of my life when I didn't know how to do it on my own, all of a sudden I would come in, or I would pray in my home, or I would come into a church service, and you would sense the rain of God begin to fall on you as you begin to worship. Has anybody ever experienced the rain of God as you're worshiping? Even right now, some of you can praise your way out of that trouble, and the rain of God will begin to fall. But when I didn't know what to do, I would lift my voice and lift my hands and begin to praise and sing praises to God, and the rain of God would begin to fall, and all of a sudden depression would be pushed off of me. Addiction would be pushed off of me. Come on. The rain of God will get rid of those things in your life. Church, I'm here to announce to you, get ready for the rain to fall. Hallelujah. Shoo. Let's go to Exodus now. Exodus chapter 14. This is the children of Israel, and they have now been delivered from Pharaoh's bondage, where they were beaten every day and they were making bricks. They were in Egyptian bondage, which is the type of the world, and Pharaoh is the type of Satan. So they've been delivered from the world. They've been delivered from Satan. But all of a sudden, they got set free. And now Pharaoh and the army, which is a type of the enemy, is now chasing them, wanting to capture them and bring them back into captivity. I have a question for you. Have you ever been set free from something and then been walking in freedom for a while, and then all of a sudden you feel as though something is chasing you down again? Been set free from it. You're walking in freedom, and yet now you feel like something is chasing you, and that it's on your heels, and that it's breathing down your neck again. I have good news for you. It won't be that way forever. I said, I have good news for you. It won't be that way forever, because the waters are beginning to fall again in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's begin to read now. Verse 10, 13, and then 21 through 28. It says, "And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, so that they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid, stand still.'" Someone say, "Stand still. And see the salvation." Everyone notice that word salvation. I'll come back to it in just a moment. "See the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever." Hallelujah. "Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel," that's God's people, that's us, say that's us, "went through the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their left and on their right. And the Egyptians pursued them and went in after them into the midst of the sea, and Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and horsemen." Verse 24. "Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the Egyptians through the pillar of cloud and fire, and they troubled the army of the Egyptians. Come on, let's just keep on moving. Verse 25. And he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights them against the Egyptian. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea in the morning, when a morning appeared and the sea was returned to its depth, and while the Egyptians were fleeing into it, so the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Verse 28, then the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. The greatest army on the planet was chasing God's people, but God delivered his people by releasing waters. Did you hear what I just said? God delivered his people by releasing the waters. By releasing the waters. Come on, somebody say rain. Releasing waters and rain are very closely connected. And so he delivered his people by releasing the waters. When the Lord released the waters, it drowned the enemies that were chasing his people. Hallelujah. When the Lord releases the waters, when the Lord releases the rain, it drowns the enemies who have been chasing you. It'll drown sickness. It'll drown depression. It'll drown regret. It'll drown poverty. It'll drown devastation. It'll drown hurt. It'll drown pain. It'll drown rejection. Whatever has been chasing you, God is saying, don't worry about it, because I'm releasing waters that will drown every enemy that has come against you. And I'm believing for a day that the Bible says you will see them again no more forever. Hallelujah. The devil said, you're never going to get rid of me. You're never going to get rid of the addiction. You're never going to get rid of that bad attitude. You're never going to get rid of the pain. And you can look at the devil in the face and say, devil, you are a liar. And the good news is you are defeated. The Bible says, I will see this enemy again no more forever. Does anybody believe with me that there is a day when you look back over your shoulder and you don't even see the enemies that have been chasing you for years, because there is a power that is released when the rain of God begins to fall, that you see that enemy again no more forever. I came to prophesy. Come on, we're going to see depression again no more forever. We're going to see addiction again no more forever. We're going to see sadness again no more forever. We're going to see, hallelujah, confusion again no more forever. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I'm going to keep preaching until you get it, because every one of us have looked over our shoulder and seen the enemy breathing down our neck. But I prophesy to you, the rain of God, the waters will be released, and you will look back over your shoulder and there won't be anybody chasing you. There's just a promised land in front of you. Is anybody ready for it? Somebody shout yes.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Not so much as one of them remained. So notice this. They went from overwhelming attack to not one of them remained. They went from overwhelming attack to not one of their enemies remained. This is what the waters of God can do when they get released. This is what the rain of God can do when it gets released. Anybody ready for the rain? Somebody say yes. Hallelujah. I can sense the presence of God coming in here even as I'm preaching about his reign. Hallelujah. The reign of God, I'm telling you, is going to change some things. Turn in your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 18. And I'm going to ask you to begin to really help me in this, because I've got about 10 minutes left and I feel like God wants to say quite a bit here. So 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 45. Talking about the reign of God's power and the reign of God's presence. 18:41 through 45, and here's what it says. Then Elijah said to Ahab, now let me explain this real quickly. There had been no rain for months and months and months, I believe years, and so now there is a drought, and because of the drought, there is a famine that is killing people. This famine is so bad that it is killing people. It is horrible. This is a devastating time for Israel, and so the man of God goes to prayer, and he begins to hear from God. This is Elijah, the man of God, the prophet. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up and eat and drink, for I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, Mount Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground, and he put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go now, look toward the sea. So he went and he looked, and he said, I don't see anything. I don't see, there is nothing. And seven times the man of God said, go again. Somebody say, go again. Yes, sir. And it came to pass the seventh time that there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. In other words, the anointing of God came upon Elijah, and Elijah outran horses for 30 miles. We're going to come back to that in just a minute. Somebody say, I hear the sound. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Yeah, and so notice that the man of God said, go look, and there was nothing. I hit on this last week a little bit. Go and look and see if there's any cloud, because I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And he didn't see anything. He didn't see, in fact, he came back and says, I don't see anything. Or like George Lopez, I don't see nothing. I just like that every time I say, I don't see nothing. All right? You told me I was going to see something, and I don't see nothing. Go and look. But he didn't see anything. Listen. Don't quit praying and quit believing for the rain if you don't see immediate changes. It could look exactly the opposite of rain in your family, in your body, in your home. But don't you dare quit believing. Someone say, go look again. I know it's been hard. I know it's been years. I know you've been hurt. I know people think you should give it a rest. I know it's been painful and lonely sometimes, but I'm telling you, go look again for the rain of God in your life. Just because you haven't seen it yet doesn't mean you're not going to see it in your future. And so notice this, the servant of God went and he looked, and he came back and says, I don't see anything. The man of God said, go again. And so he went again, and he saw nothing. And the man of God said, okay, I know what you're seeing, but I'm telling you, go do it again. And so he went again. And this is like, you know, it's pretty amazing. The man of God said, I heard something in prayer. I heard from God. Now go and look and see if what I heard in prayer shows up in real life. I shouldn't say real life. I should say in the natural. Because if you hear something from God in prayer, it's more real than the natural. But notice, the man of God wasn't going to quit until what he heard was what he saw. What do you do when what you see defies what you heard from God? Is anybody here this morning? What do you do when what you're seeing in life defies what you've heard from God? So you come to church and you hear that God's about to rain on your marriage, and then you go home and look at that husband who's sitting on the couch eating potato chips, and you go, my God, that don't look like rain to me. Hallelujah. Rain to me looks like he's going to serve me, going to put out some rose petals, going to do the dishes. He's going to start making love to me in the kitchen. Well, I'm not even there. I'm saying love is made while you're cleaning the house, gentlemen. Come on, somebody. And then I'm going to come home, and he's going to be showered, and he's not going to stink. And then you go home, and you're like, God, I'm going home to look for rain in my husband. You go home, and he's on the couch with two bags of potato chips. You're like, I don't see no rain. And God says, I'm going to rain on your finances. I'm going to bless you financially. And then you go, and you're looking for rain in your bank account, and you go, it's negative. Hallelujah. Thank God for overdraft. Hallelujah. Like, right? And then God says, I'm gonna bless you, and I'm gonna bring favor upon you. And then you go look for the cloud, you go look for the rain. What do you do when what you've heard from God, what you see defies what you've heard from God? Does anybody know what I'm talking about in here? God says, I'm going to bless you, and I'm gonna bring breakthrough to you, and then you go look for the cloud, you go look for the rain, and there's more problems in your life this next week than before you heard the word. And because the enemy knows, if I can get him to quit now, I can keep the cloud from forming.
The enemy wants you to quit before you can begin to see the cloud begin to form in your life, because the devil knows if they ever experience God's reign, I am done. If they ever experience God's power, I am done. And so the servant went back the fourth time and he came back and he says, I don't see nothing. And then he went back the fifth time and he came back, I don't see nothing. And then he came back. And listen, I'm telling you, don't you dare give up looking for the rain. Don't you dare give up expecting the rain. Come on, is anybody hear what I'm saying? We got to expect God's favor. We got to expect God's power. We got to expect God's presence. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, the sixth time he went back and he came, I don't see nothing. I don't want to feel like going back out there. I'm tired. I'm sweating. You keep on praying with your head in between your knees and I don't see nothing. I'm the one doing all the work. You're just sitting here. I mean, come on, man. Just like some of you, I got to serve again. I got to greet again. I got to work again, services again. I got to do kick again. Shut up and go do it again. I don't feel like praying again. I don't feel like tithing again. They said tithe and the windows of heaven will be open over me, but I don't see nothing. I don't want to do it. Shut up and do it again. I came to tell somebody in celebration, don't you dare give up right now. Don't you dare throw in the towel. The devil has already been defeated and the rain is beginning to fall. Go look again. Hallelujah. Come on, is anybody ready for the rain? Somebody shout yeah. I want to tell you this. You don't get the rain by acting like it's not a big deal. Right? We don't get the rain by hearing the preacher preach about it and then go, yes. That sounds precisely correct. And intellectually, I agree with your pontification, and so I will accept that into the Rolodex of my memory and the volumes of my mind. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. I came to tell somebody. There's been so many times in my life I didn't know what in the world I was about to do. Felt like the devil was beating my brains in and I was losing my mind. And I didn't have medication to take. I didn't have a doctor come in and tell me what to do. I just lifted up my voice and say, God, if you don't help me, I don't know what I'm going to do. I need your power. I need your reign. I need the power of the Holy Ghost. I need somebody in here that knows that the rain is still a big deal to act like it's a big deal and give your God a shout of praise in here. Come on, that's four or five. I need somebody who God's ever come in with his power and delivered you and set you free. Lift your voice and give him a shout of praise. Come on, is he worth your praise? Is he worth your shout? Is he worth your dance? I came to tell somebody, get ready for the rain. Hallelujah. Rain in your prayer life. Rain in your family. Rain in your finances. Rain in your marriage. Rain on every part of you. I don't know about y'all, but I want his rain in every area of my life. Shoo, the rain of God. He said, I hear the sound. I hear the sound. Someone say, I hear it. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. If I was you, I would maybe make that, you know, part of my, make it your homepage. Not your homepage, but your screensaver, something on your phone, whatever, where you're looking at it every day. You put it up somewhere you can see it and say, God, I thank you for the abundance of rain. Because I'm telling you, when the abundance of rain begins to fall, everything changed. Notice this. T.D. Jakes said this. He said, Elijah didn't even pray about the famine. Isn't that right? He didn't even pray about the famine. He prayed for the answer to the famine. He didn't pray about the famine, about the people dying. He just said, God, I'm just going to start praying for rain. See, so many times we're praying about the issue with the husband. We're praying about the issue with the wife or at the job or the financial situation or how you're feeling emotionally. And I just don't feel God anymore. You're praying about the issues. Quit praying about the branches and start praying about the root. Because if you get the root, Elijah knew when the rain comes, the famine has to go. Are you listening to me? I don't know if it feels like you've been in a famine for a while, but the rain is about to fall again and the famine is over. Hallelujah. I'm announcing to you as a man of God, get ready, church. The rain is falling and the famine is over. Hallelujah. I said the famine is over. The devil's a liar. He's been defeated. You're about to see victory, overwhelming victory. The rain is falling. Somebody ought to give God a shout of praise right now.
I hear the sound, and I know sometimes as a man of God, you're like, my God, Jason, I don't hear it. If I'm just being real. I really don't hear the sound of rain. Listen, I love this. The man of God said, I am going to pray and believe. Hear me. Until what I hear overwhelms what I see. That's some, come on, take that home, put that in a joint and smoke that. Someone's like, I knew it was legal. I knew it. The Lord made it. It's an herb. It's a plant. So the Lord made the coca plant too. Is cocaine legal too then? Now, Jason said, I said, go put the word in a joint and inhale that. I didn't say go smoke marijuana. Now, don't be twisting my words. I'm saying what I'm really wanting to say. I said that to be funny. What I really want to say is if we would inhale him, we wouldn't have to be inhaling nothing else. Woo! In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and he was God. Hallelujah. And there was nothing created that was created without him. The Bible says, let us make man in our image, and then he breathed the breath of life into him. If you would ever inhale who God is, I don't need to inhale nothing else. Hallelujah. So I'm going to bring my friend. My friend might even think this guy has some flavor. Ha ha. Talking about he's white, but he got flavor. I'll never forget, I was preaching at a big church, and I got done preaching, and then there was a football player played for the NFL. He came up to me and said, hey, bro, this is crazy, bro. This is a good word. He's like, my wife was like, oh, he got flavor. Oh. They don't know I was raised in the salad bowl. I was raised in the 831, you know. Come on, is anybody ready for the rain? Give God a shout of praise. Woo, y'all making me work. Work, 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 work. Come on, the rain's going to come and it's going to work, 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 work. Come on, somebody. Come on, it ain't been working. My marriage ain't been working. My relationship with Jesus, it just ain't been working. It used to work, but it ain't been working. My finances is broke. It ain't working. God's saying, shh, 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 go look again because the rain's going to fall and it's going to work, 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 work. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Feeling spicy up in here this morning, man. Did you hear me? The rain's going to fall and it's going to work, 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 work. Come on, man. You ain't going to forget that, but there's anointing on that right there. I ain't thought about that song in years, but I'm telling you, it's going to work, 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 work. Never even listened to the whole song. That's really the only part I heard on the TV. But I'm telling you, when the rain comes, it's going to work, 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 work. Hallelujah. All right, here we go, here we go. Come back to earth. All right. Last couple things. So he came back fourth time, fifth time, sixth time, nothing. Seventh time. Number of completion. Whew. Hallelujah. You sense his presence? I do. Whew. I sense him come in right now. I'm telling you, he's here. The rain is what you need. You don't need necessarily a new husband, a new job, a new situation. God could change all of that, but really what you need first and foremost is his rain. You need his presence. And the cloud, I hear the Lord say, the cloud forms when you start preparing for his rain. You need to prepare. How do you prepare? Before you go to work or on your lunch or on your break or on the way home, sometime you cut out time in your car or when you're putting on that makeup, painting your face. Come on, somebody. Do something. Put some worship on and start worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord. And you'll start sensing his rain begin to fall. Sensing his rain. And then ask God for the rain. So the sixth time came, nothing. Seventh time, number of completion. Number, I believe, of perfection. And he says, I see. Notice that. I've been looking. You're not going to see it unless you look. Come on, man. Did you hear me? Some of you are looking for the devil to jack you up because he's been jacking you up. I'm telling you, there's no condemnation because we've all been there, church. We've all been there where we missed it. We didn't do what we were supposed to do. We didn't exercise our authority. And the devil jacked up a certain area of our... Is anyone going to be honest with me? He's defeated. We should defeat him every time he comes. But there have been some times when we didn't do what was right and we suffered the consequence. And when that happens, the devil goes, and this is how it's going to be forever. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? The good news is he is a liar. He's a liar, and he's defeated. And I hear God say, get your focus off of what the devil has stolen, and get your focus onto my reign. Woo! When the rain came, I just heard the Lord say, tell them when the rain came, everything they lost, they got it all back plus some. I feel like running around here myself. I said, everything that the devil has stolen and you have lost, when the rain comes, you get it all back plus some. Hallelujah. Woo! Someone say rain. Man. Wow. And so, seventh time came. Rain began to fall. I love this. And then Elijah, hand of the Lord came upon him, girded up his loins, and ran ahead of chariots for 30 miles. Usain Bolt ain't got nothing on him. You know what I'm saying? Come on. 30 miles outrunning. When I get to heaven, I'm going to be like, Jesus, I want to rent that DVD. Hallelujah. Put that right here on my phone. Let me see Elijah out. Come on, I'm for real. I mean, you think like we got technology now? Imagine what heaven has. Forest fields. Star Wars didn't come up with forest fields. Read your Bible. That's why you're bored, because you don't read your Bible. Talk about the Bible's boring. You're boring. You read the Bible, you won't be bored. There's crazy stuff happening in the Bible. You don't feel so bad about being crazy. No, just like, you won't feel so bad about issues that God is helping you through. Come on, somebody. Because you're like, my God, if David came through that, I can come through what I'm coming through. I'm glad he didn't like edit. You know what I mean? I think if I was God the Father, I would have edited some of my kids' life. Like, we don't need to let them see that or this, or let's just talk about from this day forward. Let's edit that, delete that. But God just left it all in there. Right? Noah? Was it Noah got drunk? Did some craziness? God just left it in there. Some of you are like, I'm so glad. I feel better. Hallelujah. God just left it all in there. Because God wants you to know he's bigger than your mess up. I should have got a shout from some people that ain't faking it. I said, God is bigger than your mess up. And he still used Noah. He redeemed him and used him for his glory. This is the story of the gospel, that a good God, perfect, good, holy God, redeems sinful, wicked people and makes them the apple of his eye. I'm preaching, man. And so, what was I saying? Yeah, before that. At least she was listening. Hallelujah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so the rain comes. It's going to cause it to work. Okay, it's going to come. It's good. And then And then, that's what I'm talking about, Elijah. I want to see, Johnny, I'm going to see that. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask, I want to see him outrun chariots. Right? You think I'm faking it. Oh, yeah, I'll talk about technology. Come on, man. Force fields. You should see some of your faces, man. You're tripping out crazy. But you don't believe the Bible if you don't believe this. Because the Bible said that God put his people in Goshen. Was it Goshen? Is that the right thing? And the plagues would come against Egypt. Come on, somebody. Ah! The plague of the frogs and the blood and all the craziness. You couldn't step anywhere without stepping on frogs. They're in your nose, in your ears, in your mouth, on your bed. The Bible says you couldn't see the floor. And the plagues came because Pharaoh hardened his heart. But God took his people and put them in a town. And as soon as the plagues went everywhere, but when the plague got to that town, there was a force field around that city. And there was also a force field around Job. Before Job prayed the prayers in fear every day, there was a force field, and the devil had to go ask God, will you remove the force field? God never said that he would, but Job's fear allowed the force field to go down. I'm saying that whether you call it a force field or not, Star Trek and Star Wars didn't come up with this protection. There is a supernatural protection that can keep things from coming. Hallelujah. 1,000 will fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not approach me. What do you call that? Angelic force. Come on, somebody. So you got to read the Bible. So Elijah picked it up and he outran chariots, outran horses. This is not possible. This is not humanly possible. But when God gets on somebody and anoints somebody, they can do things you could never do on your own. And here's what God told me to tell you, that the rain will accelerate you. Can you imagine seeing that? Seeing Elijah outrun horses? That looks like some acceleration. The rain will accelerate you. Here's how you do it. Here's how we do it. Number one, put it up there, guys. How do you see the rain? Number one, you believe for the rain. Someone say believe. Believe. Believe for the rain. Like I said, put it on a phone. Put it somewhere where you can see it. And say, God, I thank you and I'm believing you for the abundance of rain in my life, in our church, and in our city. And that rain will get on your finances. That rain will get on your family. That rain will get in your marriage. Believe God for the rain in every area of your life. Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. Someone say believe. Yeah, believe for the rain. And then number two, someone say pray for the rain. Pray for the rain. You got to pray. Remember Zechariah 10:1, he says, ask the Lord for rain in the time of rain. God says, pray for the, if you want to see the rain, you got to pray for it. Someone say pray. So in your day, each day, let's believe for the rain and let's pray for the rain. Are you listening to me? Because the rain, remember what we've covered, the rain will help you destroy sin, get wickedness, get lawlessness out of your life. The rain will come and it will cause famine to leave your life. The waters being released will cause enemies that have been chasing you to be drowned. The rain, are you listening to me? The rain will cause you to be accelerated. The rain will cause famine to leave your life. The rain is God's power, God's presence, and God's favor. And I don't know about y'all. I want his rain in every area of my life. So number one, we need to believe for the rain. And number two, we need to pray for the rain. I'm asking you guys, take those two things down. Put them somewhere you can see them. And release your faith daily. And I'm telling you, if you'll do that daily, you will begin to see changes in your family, in your life, in your finances. But most importantly, I believe you'll see a change in your relationship with Jesus. Amen. That there will be intimate times of prayer, that you'll want to be in his presence, that you'll want to spend time in his word. That when the rain comes, you don't have to pray. You want to pray. felt like the Lord gave me this when I was preaching on this subject. And I want to read it to you. I saw marriages in the rain, washing hurt and regret away. I saw praising in the rain and praying in the rain and services, church services drenched in the rain as if it were a dream. Each raindrop carries who God is and what he has. Raindrops of love and salvation and healing and restoration and prosperity and relief and refreshing and anointing. Get ready to walk and to dance and sing and live in the rain. You can feel as carefree as a child in the rain again. You can feel as carefree as a child in the rain again. And the results of this rain are not damp, uncomfortable conditions, but the results of his rain are wholeness and victory in every area of your life. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we believe we receive the abundance of rain. Come on, church. Say it. Say, we believe we receive the abundance of rain in our lives, in our city, in our church. Rain in Jesus' name. Now bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, on the count of three, I want to give you the opportunity to know him. Secondly, say, I've known God, but I'm far from him. On the count of three, I want you to lift your hand and we're going to pray with you. Say, you know what? I've known God, but there's just some things I need to get right. On the count of three, I just want you to lift your hand. We're just simply going to pray with you and pray for you. We're not going to embarrass you. But if that's you, lift them up. One, two, three. Lift them up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hands up all over the building. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And those of you that say, man, I haven't sensed the rain in a while in my prayer life, in my word life. I've let those things slip, and I want more of the rain of God. Lift your hands now. Lift your hands, and I'm going to pray for those. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, everybody in this place, let's pray this prayer together. Say this. Say, Father God, forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus Christ died and was raised for my salvation. I confess Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. I turn away from sinful ways. Forgive me of all sin. By your grace, I'll live for you and walk with you. We believe for the abundance of rain. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's rejoice over every decision that was made.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.